Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. If it's worth the fight, you said it would be. You said it would be this way. There's not much more to say.
Welcome to the weekly conversation. I love that song, so sometimes I play it longer than normal. This week on the conversation, folks, is Sarah Palin backing Donald Trump a good thing or a bad thing? Also, people were asked on the Jimmy Fallon program what they thought of Martin Luther King backing Donald Trump. No one came out and said, well, Martin Luther King's dead. Hello. Scary. Also, a college student's waving an ISIS flag and saying bad things about America. No one has a problem with it. When he waves an Israeli flag, people go ballistic. I'll get into that. So what are our kids being taught anyways? Nothing. Our young generation moving forward, I'll comment on them. Also, Trump has given money to Hillary. He supported the left for years. Is he going to become president if it happens and then all of a sudden go back to his liberal ways? I'll get into that. Also, Ben Carson, his campaign, tragic accident on Tuesday that killed one and injured three others. That, and, you know, this country is headed for some hard times before it gets even better. And some Manchester United football news, that much, much more. So welcome to the conversation, folks. New Living Translation, Proverbs 9:9. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Think about that as you're going through your day to day. And that's kind of how I feel. I mean, that's what I try to do in this. I try to educate people. I try to teach them so that they can learn to make up their own mind. You know, if you think Donald Trump's going to be a great person, okay.
But be better than Hillary or Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
We hope
he'll be better, yeah. But we don't know. Like I said on my Facebook, because we went back and forth a little bit with Whoopi Goldberg saying that she was going to leave the country if Donald Trump becomes president. And we're all like, "Pack, I'll help you."
Yep.
You know, I didn't leave when Barack Obama became president, but, oh, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, so it doesn't matter. The problem we have here, folks, is I think it's going to come down to what it always has. Since I've been able to vote, you have a choice between a douche and a turd sandwich. They're both bad. One's going to be a little bit better than the other, but not by much. I mean, the problem you've been dealing with for years is you have a person that does something on the left, and he's praised for it. But a person on the right does the same thing, and they're crucified for it. And it wouldn't matter if the right was crucified for it or not, because it's probably bad anyway. So, you know, it's the whole double standard. And I've said this before in the program, you know, Sarah Palin back in the day, MSNBC said, you know, if she was a liberal, we'd be kissing her ass, dissing her like they do because she's a Republican. They didn't say if she changed her opinion. And I was watching O'Reilly, and Mike Huckabee was on there today, and he said, he thinks there's a NASCAR race going on. You got the two front people, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, and eventually they're probably going to have a wreck, and they might both go out, and someone in back is going to come forward and bang, here you go. Because all you hear about is Trump and Cruz. You never hear about, like, Ben Carson that much, except for the tragic news. that happened out of his campaign and you know, stuff like that, or Mike Huckabee, a lot of these other people you don't hear about. But, you know, Sarah Palin backing Trump, a good thing. I mean, I think a lot of people, I think she's great. But there's a lot of people that, for some reason, will never like her no matter what. She could say, she could have done everything Hillary Clinton had done, and they'd be crucifying her for doing all this stuff, but they're not crucifying Hillary Clinton. You know, I think she's someone that's I think it's a good thing, because I think he needs some people in his corner that are more political, because Donald Trump has really seen as this guy that, okay, this is what I'm going to pass this law, and China's going to obey by it. Okay, they're going to pay if they're going to send their goods into our country. There's going to be taxes. This is not a dotted line. This is the line. Okay, this is what Canada's going to have to do if they want to trade with the U.S. This is what China's going to have to do with this. If they don't want it, if they're not going to buy it, okay, well, then we're not going to take your goods. We'll bring manufacturing back to this country, and we'll have stuff made in this country again. But this is what I'm going to do. There's going to be a wall. I'm building it. You don't like it? I don't care. We're putting up a wall. You know, the Mongolians put up a wall to try to keep, you know, people out. And
that is one thing I think Trump might do. He might keep his word about that, but I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people are afraid that he's going to keep his word on some things, but it's going to be, it's my word. There's no, this is how it is. Okay, we're gonna put a tax on anything that China brings into this country. You know, and we're going to make, you know, and if they don't like it, but what they're going to do is they'll find a way to get it in somehow. They'll smuggle it in or whatever. But, you know, a lot of people see him as it's my way or the highway. So I think it's, I don't know if it's, she did endorse Cruz in the past, so why she's going with Trump, I think, I don't know. Like,
he thinks that Cruz is going to be too Republican, too...
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I can see that. I can see Cruz being, but he's, I mean, I've been screwed by so many people. I mean, if I got screwed by Trump, hey, at least I can say I tried someone that was not a politician. You know. Oh, wow. That's just, I don't know. I mean, it's just, I just hope that when it comes to, I mean, because there's a lot of people, like, is Trump really a, like, kind of joke gone too far? Like, hey, I'm just going to try to run for president. Hell, I never, you know, I expected him maybe a couple months to be the front runner, but then him fade out and, you know, go into the limelight, you know, like Grace Kelly and, you know, just, ba-da-da, and just kind of gracefully go away and, you know, fun while it lasted. But he's still up there. He's still the top contender. He's still the one everyone's talking about. So I just hope if he gets in, he ends up being the real deal, not just a candidate that's, okay, I'm in, now what? That's why I like Ben Carson. When he's asking questions, so how would you handle this situation? Well, first of all, I go to the military and I'd, what do you need to get this done? And I'll make sure you have what you need to accomplish the mission. Great. You know, he would seek out other people because that's what medical doctors do. If feet are not my specialty, I'm going to go and say, yeah, I want to have a foot person look at this because we got to, because it may affect me doing your operation. I don't know feet, so, you know, I'm studying the brain or whatever. And he's going to seek out whatever the case may be for whatever, you know.
There's really nothing I can say that I don't like about him.
Yeah, yeah, I really couldn't say anything negative. Because he's explained to me, okay, if he doesn't know what's going on, he would find out what's going on, find the best possible solution. Okay, let me get someone who's an expert in this. And what, okay, these are the people that are handling the water situation. What do they need to fix it? You know? And so So that's kind of how that goes, you know. He's the one that I really don't see, I don't have a problem with. And, you know, but that's...
They don't like him because they can't control him.
Yep. They can't find anything on him. That's the real thing. He's like
a... Trump, he has a price. Give him enough money.
Yep.
That's why they don't trust.
I mean, and... As we move forward, what are our kids being taught today when a college kid is waving an ISIS flag and saying, we're killing because of America and all this stuff and doing all these anti-American rants, and no one really says a word to him? It's not until he takes an Israeli flag and starts waving it around that people start going off on him and saying all these negative things. And it's like, really? Israel is one of our biggest allies, one of our biggest, ally means friend, in case you didn't know that. They are one that's been there for a long time. You know, if anything, I would sit there, I would move to Israel, and I would go up to, you know, and I'm like, I would stand and fight with Benjamin Netanyahu. All these, you know, I don't know how people can... Martin Luther King's not dead?
They didn't even tell him the difference. That's the sad part.
You know,
he's dead.
Yeah, they on Martin Luther King Day, you know, let's go ask these people about Martin Luther King back in Donald Trump. No one said he was dead. And one person's saying that he's not. I mean, you shouldn't find one person unless they're not from this country at all that should say that Martin Luther King is potentially still alive. I mean, really? That's just scary. But you have kids that are like going off on a guy for an Israeli flag. I mean, but then you have kids also that, oh, we want to congratulate Kim Jong-un because guess what? They had a successful hydrogen bomb test. Well, that's, thank you, Kim Jong-un. Help blow me out of the water. Iran, you know, like, oh, we got to have, you know, I'm just waiting for them to, you know, these kids don't even know history. Oh, we support Iran, even though you're supporting the same person that wants you dead. You know, if a guy wants to kill me, I'm not going to support the man. But that's how kids are today. They don't know anything.
It is.
It's scary because that's our generation.
No, that's the next generation. We were raised by them.
Well, that's what you know what I meant. That is the generation that's gonna
take care of us.
Yeah. Guess what? Yeah, there's a big party and I want to go to it, and I didn't know if I should just call in or just, you know, leave work early or whatever. Like, so what do you think a job is? You can just come and go whenever you want. I mean, but then if you have money, you can put in whatever you want in a dang textbook. It don't matter. There's a lady, and I've talked about this before, that basically has 100%. I would be in the electric chair, and I would have been killed with the evidence she had if it was a murder investigation. And the evidence that she has proves that there was some type of bipedal walking on two legs humanoid, whether it's like a human or like a caveman or a Mongolian or whatever, that was on this planet at the same time as the dinosaurs. When they've gone to the era in the dirt where the dinosaurs lived, they found actual pottery and stuff. They shut her up and discredit her. Why? Because you would have to rewrite history. Think about it like this. Christopher Columbus came over to this country, and what did he do when he landed? He saw people, and he called them Indians. Why did he call them Indians? Because he thought he had landed in India. But he is considered the person that found this country. How can you say you found the country when there were people already here?
They didn't take it.
When they landed, I could be wrong. Maybe.
But he realized he was wrong, and he wasn't in India.
Yeah, but there's people already there, so he can't be the first one here.
No, he's the first one that discovered this planet with people. Never mind. Do your show.
Well, my wife's trying to tell me that he was the first one to discover this. Yeah, maybe the first, like, Italian explorer, but not the first one to actually discover that, because they had already discovered it because they're already living on there. But that's a whole other conversation. I just have to agree with my wife. She's right. See, there's stuff about the marriage I'd love to tell you about, but I'm not allowed to. It's one of the rules. We're not allowed. Men are not allowed to talk about certain things in the relationship. It's just one of the rules. But it's okay. You just agree with your wife and everything's hunky-dory. But, I mean, I that's just how I see it, you know. My point is, if I gave $1 million to Holt Mifflin, I could put in probably something in that book if I wanted to, whether it's factually correct or not. That's what it boils down to.
Kind of sad, but true.
It is. If you're willing to pay for the publishing of the books, and you want to say the earth is flat, go right ahead. Liberals will probably agree with you. See, what's happening is since this global warming's happening on the earth, it's boiling all this water and it's coming out of the volcano as lava and steam. And as it does that, the earth is shrinking and pretty soon it's going to be flat, deflating, like a basketball or a balloon or something. That's just deflating.
Someone wanted proof that it was actually round, if you remember.
Well, there's people who still believe we never actually landed on the moon. So, hey, what do you expect? That's just how this thing goes.
Just remember, don't underestimate that woman from Virginia, West Virginia.
It's the wheel of unbelievability. Spin the wheel. You never know what you'll believe or someone will. It's amazing what when they go out and they'll do these like joke-like interviews, what they'll find people will believe. That's why I said, you know, Hillary Clinton can say the world was flat and people would damn believe her. Because they're not, I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, just to think that, okay, Martin Luther King is dead. No, actually, he's not really dead. Martin Luther King is the second person in this country to fake his own death. The first one was Elvis. You know, he was on a farm in 1990. But that's just, I mean, you know, there are people that, like, I always, like, when people hate Trump that are my liberal friends, I'm like, oh, well, I wish he'd go back to supporting Hillary Clinton. Because he did for a long time, you know, and I just, you know, is he really a joke? It's gone too far, you know?
I just wonder if he thought Bill would, if he really is sexist, and he think as long as Bill was there, he's fine. If Hillary gets in there, she's a woman. I don't know.
Well, I mean, but if Hillary becomes the president, unfortunately, Bill, you're not the first man. We already have that, Michelle Obama, you know. But as I move forward, you know, this young generation, I'm glad I grew up when you went outside and where all the bikes were, that's where you knew your friends were. You know, where you would sit and you'd play music or just sit and chat and talk. I mean, if I wanted to meet someone, I had to talk to them. I couldn't just sit there and honestly text them. And, you know, I mean, there's a picture of like six, like three girls in a car and they're like staring at their phones, not even talking. And, you know, when I grew up, you didn't have a phone. You talked, and it's a, you know, you had to learn. You had to go to the library to learn. You had to, you know, you had to do things. You didn't have, you know, there was nothing for free. You didn't want it for free. You wanted to do on your own, you know. And I've said this before, and they said it on many news organizations, mainly Fox, but you know, no one could get elected in this day and age saying, ask not what your government can do for you, but what you can do for your government. But, you know, it's my version of what JFK said, you know. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, how you can give back. No one can win on that, because everyone, what can you give me? Bernie Sanders See, I think the Republicans need to play on that. Yeah, well, if I get elected, I'm just going to give you everything. We're not going to have a currency. Everything, you need it, you go to Walmart, you pick it up. You want a TV, just go to Best Buy and, you know, there you go. Nothing, there's no jobs, there's no, nothing, you don't have to work. Everything's free, you don't have to have health care, no food, no nothing. That's how these people, my sister actually went to a bank, and this guy, the teller behind the bank was like, oh yeah, this Obamacare is going to be so great, and da-da-da. And Lisa's like, well, who in the bleep do you think's going to pay for all this? And he goes, I didn't even think about that. And I'm like, okay.
Not only who's going to pay for that.
Yeah, but they don't know where the money's coming from, and they don't care.
Yeah.
It's like those people are like, we're getting the money, we're getting the money. Well, where are you getting the money? Obama's giving it to us. Where is he getting it? I don't know, but we're getting the money. You know, it's just nuts. You know, that's why I try to educate people. I don't care who you vote for, but just know what's out there and what they support and what they stand for. You know, it's just it's a different generation. You know, this country is not too big to fail. We can have an economic collapse. And I believe if we don't have an economic collapse, there's going to be a giant turd sandwich and we're all going to have to take a bite. Yeah, it might get better, but we're going to have, you know, very few people that are ever on drugs get on drugs and everything's hunky-dory and then they get clean. No, normally they have to go and hit rock bottom. And then, you know, so it's just people act like this country's too big to fail. It's not too big to fail, you know. And with all this Trump stuff going on and him and Cruz going back and forth, you know, the only really, really newsworthy stuff of the other candidates really is Ben Carson in a sad way, because on Tuesday, one of his vans with some volunteers in it, the driver lost control of the van and hit another car and got in an accident, and three were taken to the hospital and released, and one, Braden Joplin, died. And their thoughts and prayers are with the family, and Carson is starting his campaign up again and going out again in his honor and his memory, and, you know, it's just sad, and it happened in Iowa, and it's just, you know, that it's sad that that happened, and, you know, it's just one of those things that when you look at it, it just shows you how precious life is, and how you need to, I try to live for the moment, because you never know when I might not have a tomorrow. And, you know, it's something like that that takes the party away. You know, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, you know, something that just happened. And not many people realize this, but I think it was yesterday, the guy that, I don't remember his name, but the guy that played Animal on the Muppets, the drummer, he ended up dying. And so many people thought, when I've talked about it, they're like, when they saw that article, they're like, they thought it was just like how Miss Piggy and Kermit, they made them split up. They thought that it was just like written in that he had died and all this stuff. I'm like, no, the guy that was the puppeteer of him and did the drumming and stuff died. Oh my. That's when they're like, you know, and it's just hit home because he was my inspiration. Seeing.
He was my favorite.
Yeah, he was just, I remember they had, Buddy Rich. They had Buddy Rich on there, and he was like, see, I'm playing the theater. And he actually went and played the theater and then had a jam. It was just incredible seeing him, too. He was just, I mean, it just, I think I went downhill playing darts last night. I think we won two games after that. But, you know, and then when, it's just one of those things that just gets you right in the chest, you know, something, because you, you know, just, wow. It was just one of those things that just, wow, hard to believe, you know. It just seems like only yesterday, it's like the Muppets were on, and I mean, they're on now, but the original show that they did, it was just, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but what really hit me was Glenn Frey. 67, the Beagles, man. That was, I got to actually, they were on my bucket list. I'm like, I got to see them. And my friend, one of my good friends, Tammy, she's like, we got to go. They're coming. I'm like, okay, get tickets. And we requested off. And
how many years ago was that?
Like two, I think it was. A year or two.
Before we met then.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. And that was probably, besides, I can't, of course, The Grateful Dead will always be one of the greatest shows. Any of their shows were amazing.
How many of those do you remember?
I don't know. I don't remember. But the Eagles, that was probably the greatest concert I ever saw in my life. And the reason why is because they went up there and played every note like, well, I can collapse right now. This is the greatest. You know, they never took anything for granted. They never, you know, they're like, this is amazing. I get to play, and this is just, oh, wow. And they lived the moment, and it was just incredible. And they did the lights on the side, you know, people in the front, and they did the lights, and they did the people in the back, and we were all the way in the back, and having, oh, it was, we went to some, like, Irish pub, and I'm like, I wanted to have some mangoes for a change. And I said, that never sold. I'm like, okay. So I'm like, get me my Smittics. And we had some beer and then stayed there until the show and then went and saw the show. And then she drove home and I passed out. And, you know, the good ones are going, you know. I don't think many people are going to look back and, you know, today we look back on the tragic life of Justin Bieber, who died at 74.
No, 90s music died.
Yeah. Yep. 93 was the worst year of music because it was the year that Kurt Cobain died and Justin Bieber was born. Wow. But, you know, as we get back a little bit, you know, it's just, this whole country's changing. I mean, stock market is going into the tank and, I mean, the oil prices are plummeting. And that, yeah, well, that's a great thing. Well, strawberries, like, 4 years ago were so good and such quality and such demand that they were so plentiful that it was going to cost them more to take them to market than they would get for them. And they just started putting them on the side of the road. And, you know, and that's what, you know, when it costs more to get oil out of the ground and stuff and do things and they're making and all this, you know. But like a lot of my friends, you know, you're not blaming Obama for the gas price now, are you? I'm like, I never was blaming him when it was high. I just wondered why they weren't when all they did was blame Bush, because he was the reason the gas price was so high for 8 years. And, you know, I mean, if we did have an economic collapse or, you know, this country, since it's not too big to fail and it can collapse, because George Soros has collapsed many economies and he's trying to do the same thing to the U.S., you know, would the liberals and Dems be in denial or would they just blame the GOP? I mean, because they're in denial about ISIS attacking us. I mean, a Paris attack had happened and they wouldn't call it terrorism. They would say, I don't know what they would say, but it wouldn't be anything constructive. They wouldn't be like, well, gee, here, you know. Radical Islamists came here and blew us out of the water. 50 Americans are dead, 200 are injured. This is a hypothetical thing, but they wouldn't. Well, what we need to do is we need to get the guns, and we need to confiscate the guns. Well, okay, well, really. Well, look at how many, what was that, like one thousandth of a percent of gun owners that caused that, and they weren't even a gun owner. They're illegal. They had no permit, nothing. So every other person that was a legal gun owner that's responsible, like me, we're not the problem. But that's, you know, they've got to try to pass some law with guns. That way they can take anything and prove and blow it out of proportion to prove that it doesn't work, so that they can make the law even stronger. If that's what they're ultimately going to do, they're going to find a way, well, we're going to pass this law. Well, it doesn't seem like much, but before you know it, they're going to start taking your freedom and this and that. You know, I live in a democratic society. I don't want to have a socialism run. I don't want to have socialism in this country. I don't want to have a socialism run, socialist run my country. I don't want that. I want America back. I'm not Republican. I'm not Democrat. But who knows? You know, I can tell you, Russia is a huge nation. And what have they had for years? People standing in line to get a toothbrush. Well, I don't need a toothbrush. I got 5 toothbrushes. I need the toothpaste. No toothpaste. You might have it in a month. Standing in line. And that's what's going to happen here. Because, you know, all it takes is one glitch in the computer system and all these people that rely on the government for everything and they can't get it. No one's telling me my baby ain't being fed today. No way. I ain't working. I got 25 kids and they're getting fed today. I'm getting money from the government so they can feed my kids. I can't work. Well, then, you know, I mean, you have 25 kids, you know, 10 kids, you don't work, you demand the government, you expect the government to give you everything. Where does the money come from? Nothing's free in this world. Nothing's free. But, yeah. Last time I checked, what was it like? When I checked about an hour and a half, 2 hours before the program, it was $18,906,000,000,000, the national debt clock, and rising. But, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, everything's free.
Everything's free. We're not going to have currency. See, if I was president, we wouldn't have anything. You just, as long as you could prove you work, you just go in and buy whatever you want. You want a BMW? Well, who's going to make the things?
Why work if everything's free?
Well, who's going to make the products? Well, what it is, no, it's going to be free if you have a job. If you can prove you work. So it don't matter if you work at McDonald's or Burger King or whatever. You want a Lamborghini, just go over there and have that guy's job.
How are they going to get paid?
No, they're not. You just work at McDonald's. And then that if you prove you have a job, you can get whatever you want. So if you
work 1 hour a week.
No, you have to work. There have to be limitations. Come on.
And then you're going to get into the same system we have today. Yeah, go on, honey. It's just...
I know. It doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
That's my whole point.
Exactly.
You know, these people that want free education and free health care and all this crap, but then they can't even have any documentation. Well, this is the math I've done. This is proves how I'm going to work it out and how everything's going to work. Not going to happen. You know, that's just, you know, people don't make sense. But that's why they're called liberals. Doesn't, you know, like Sarah Palin, they've been going off on her because, well, she's blaming Barack Obama for her son hitting that girl.
How is she blaming Barack Obama? I think
she's not blaming. She is partially blaming him because he was in the Iraq wars. He's fought overseas and been in combat. And since George Bush left office, he said, yes, his administration said, we're starting to have backups with the VA. You need to fix this. And Obama's done nothing to fix the VA problem. And these vets aren't getting help and they have PTSD and he's having issues. And he hit her not meaning to because he's having issues with PTSD. She's indirectly blaming him because he's done nothing really to stop the VA. It's not like she's saying, Obama, my son hit his wife because you weren't there to protect him, because you weren't a good parent. That's what someone actually wrote, and I just wanted to go off because it's because of his mental problems due to, it's the, what is it, the 1,000-yard stare?
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine what it's like to go over there, and every second you're watching your front, your back is all of a sudden, and you're bang, you're hit. I've done paintball. I didn't think anyone could see me, and all of a sudden, bam, right in my mask, I get smacked with a ball. Man, I can't even imagine what they're going through. I'm not trying to say I do, but when the liberals and people on the left are saying that, well, and they had like a picture of Obama, and it goes, I'm sorry I wasn't a better parent to your son. I'm like, she, you know, they're taking what she said totally out of context. You know, when we're helping illegals more than we are our vets who fought for this country.
Yep.
I mean, if you ever see a vet, shake their hand and thank them. Welcome home.
Why do you think I won't let my dad go to the VA? Not in this lifetime. Not with that president.
No way. He doesn't care about these. He has not given, he's not shown one iota of anything that would prove to me that he cares about this country. I'm sorry. I could be wrong. That's our president, you know. I call him dictator in chief. You know.
Okay.
I love this. I have I put this on my Facebook. It's from one of my friends, and it has the guy from I call him Kramer from Ancient Aliens, and it goes, almost 94 million Americans don't work, but the government says unemployment is at 5%. That's Common Core. Oh yeah, it's just great. You know, and I, one of my all-time favorite movies is Animal House, and it goes, but Mr. President, automatic weapons are already illegal. Really? Well, now they're double secret illegal. That's one of my all-time favorite movies, and just some of these fun things that I've seen that they make fun of, you know. Like, this is one that I posted that these are just funny, and, you know, I'm going to get off topic a little bit just because got to have some humor in the show. You know, and it has a Nintendo, and it says, remember when we were the gaming systems to have, and it has a Sega, and it says, yep, and then it has an Atari, and he goes, I have no memory. Because I remember having those old Atari 400s with like that 8-bit, and it's like a rectangle with a circle on top, and you had like two smaller, and there's a basketball game, ping, 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 ping. And you thought it was like God's gift to green earth, and you thought you were like the coolest person when you can have stuff like that. And it's just, but this is, this post is, I kind of get back into what I want to talk about. A child educated only at school as an uneducated child. I remember my sister told me that she'd had parents like, I'm supposed to read to my kids? Yeah, you should help them out, you know? Because so many people say, like, well, how do I teach my kids, like, French or Spanish or German? Well, you taught them their native tongue, right? You know? So it's just one of those things that, for me, you know, the TV is not an educator. The government's not an educator. You need to teach your kid, okay? The teacher is going to help me educate my son or my daughter. And that's how it should be. This notion that, like, the government does everything. I mean, we have a government that doesn't do anything. It hasn't solved anything. That what is the TSA, the Toilet Safety Administration?
Uh-huh.
They haven't found one terrorist at the airport. They haven't caught anybody.
How many have they let by?
Yeah, the Toilet Safety Administration. You know, I refuse to bend and twist or change to make Muslims feel comfortable in my country. You know, they need to, if I'm going to go to their country, I'm going to adhere to their laws. Why do we have to adhere to their laws here? Why don't they adhere to our laws? This is my country. And if you don't like it, I can show you the back door. And that's what I hate about this, you know. No offense, but for me, they wouldn't like it if they tried to tell me that, well, your son's going to have to take off that American flag. I'm just going to come down to that school and take down your American flag. If it's still up when I get to school, it's coming down. And I want to have papers because I'm transferring my kid. If my kid can't wear an American flag shirt to school because it's going to offend someone, I don't want my kid going to that school. And I'm going to make sure the other parents know that my son, that make sure to take your kids out of that school. I've said that before, but that's the ridiculousness of this country. It's just, I don't get it. I don't know. I do this program, folks, because I want my country back. You know, I've always been what a lot of people associate with now. I've never really supported Democrats or Republicans. I'm a little more on the conservative side, but that's who I am, you know. That's why I like, you know, Ben Carson, because he's not an establishment anything. He's someone that, I'm going to make mistakes, but you know what? I'm going to learn. I want to have, if there's something that they want me to do, like, well, how would you handle this situation? Well, I would go to my military people, and I would say, what do you need to get this done? I would find out, okay, let's get to the water expert and find out, how can we fix this water problem in Flint, Michigan? How can we solve it? Not who can we place blame on. And that's why I like him. He actually wants to do something. It's not about money. He could just sit back and retire and live a cush life. But that's not what he wants to do. That's not what he sees God wanting him to do. That's how it is, folks. You know, I think too many people are on their, you know, they're so out of touch with this, the world, you know. I mean, when I've heard of people having, like, actual Facebook groups about another football team, another high school team, or, you know, I mean, stuff, we never, you know, or having a, they'll actually have like a, okay, if, like, we all, everyone, when I went to school, made fun of everybody, you know. I got picked on, like, I would pick on this person, he would pick on me, everyone picked on everyone, we made fun of everybody, out of fun. Now, they'll have a Facebook page where, you know, making fun of this person, the whole group. And in my opinion, there's so much of that, this going on, that this generation growing up is so out of touch with what's really going on. I mean, when I got home, I would sit and I would do homework. There was like 5 channels or 6 channels or 12 channels on the TV, and we always watched the news. I always knew what was going on. Now a kid probably doesn't even watch the news. I mean, but then, heck, half the news is all scripted anyways. You know, they put in whatever they want to say. And it's just, yes, I want to I try to wake this country up, at least the people that listen to the program. And just, I mean, like, and this is the thing that Glenn Beck always says, you know, don't take my word for it. Prove me wrong, you know. I always have this philosophy. I don't care if you vote for Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. Know what they stand for. Know what you're going to get in the end, which is, like, the best example I'll give is when I was at the Viva La Villa Pizzeria. This place is in Norristown near Philadelphia. And this dude's like, Tony, get up here. We got customers. He's like, what you ringing my ear for, Pops? You told me to go empty the trash and all this. What are you doing back there? We got customers. You need to help them out. And he's like, well, you know, if I was up here, you'd be complaining they needed the dumpster. And he goes, did you notice something on your way into work? And he goes, no. He goes, about the trees. You didn't notice anything about them? He goes, no. He goes, you should have noticed that there's no money going on them. You got to earn it. You know? I don't care if you want to vote for her, Bernie Sanders, and you listen to my program. That's great. Just realize that nothing's for free. Who do you think's going to pay for all this stuff that they're going to give you? The money's got to come from somewhere. And I think, like South Park, we're going to end up with the choice between a douche and a turd sandwich. They're both going to, okay, well, Donald Trump would be better than Bernie Sanders, but I just hope he doesn't, I hope if he gets it, it's, he's not like, okay, now what do I do? I'm, you know, hopefully he, okay, yep, I have a real strategy, I have a real plan. Got about 13 minutes left in the program, folks. And hard to believe, folks, it's almost baseball season. Where does time go by? I mean, seriously, it's hard to believe as we, I mean, just as they already have a picture, his first photo op, Justin Upton with the Detroit Tigers at Comerica Park with snow on the field. They should have like a, that'd be cool to have like one game, like a winter game, play like a baseball game, even if it's like four innings with like white snow and a white ball.
You ain't gonna get no one to the
They do hockey games in Chicago, outside in Wrigley Field. They put a hockey.
Hey, Detroit, honey.
Well, it's just as cold.
You ain't gonna get people in Detroit.
Oh, you just, man, just piss my popcorn, why don't you?
Right, okay.
Hypothetical, but you know, I mean, just I don't know. I'm just saying they do like hockey outdoors in like Chicago. I thought maybe why not do like a. Like a four inning baseball game. I mean between the just like the team playing. You know? I don't know, just something that thought it would work, but I don't know. I just some weird idea. You know, I mean there's people that wondered that always wondered if they would ever put a lot of snow in the Indy 500 track and do a race with snowmobiles. Or like Michigan, you know, if there's a lot of snow on the Michigan track or you know, when it's really cold if you know. We don't know, but that some people have commented on that when they do the photos of like Indianapolis 500 or Michigan when it's like deep in snow and all that, you know. But you know, just thought it's hard to believe baseball season, and of course we'll probably start out really good like last year, and then we'll tank or something will go wrong. I mean, it's not like Detroit, you know. I mean, that's actually stay consistent all season long and actually possibly win. I know. It's like, well, they're not really, I mean, you can't call them the low, you can call them like the easily screw-upables, I don't know. Because, well, they're not the lovable losers. I mean, we love them, but they just, I don't know. But, as we move on from that, to the English Premier League, folks. Holy cow. What a thing. Wayne Rooney, a new year, a new day, a new match. He has just been incredible since the start of the season. Let me tell you something. You wonder what he's been thinking, son. I know what he's thinking. He's thinking goals. He's just been incredible. Incredible, folks. It's one thing, too, as I want to get into this really quick, is there's actually information that last week Manchester United officials in Paris had a talk with Pep Guardiola. I don't know if that means that they're considering him as a manager to come in to United after the season's over with, or, you know, to take him in to the season. You know, I don't know if they would get rid of Van Gaal before the season's over with and put Pep Guardiola in there and wait till the end of the season or what. You know, I think maybe they might be doing that and, you know, have someone like Ryan Giggs learn under him and then possibly if he stays for a while or whatever, if he were to ever leave, then Ryan Giggs take over. And if some of the people don't know, Pep Guardiola spent a lot of his formative years playing as a defensive midfielder, mainly for Barcelona. And he actually was quite an incredible player, and he actually became the coach of Barcelona in 2008 and succeeded, I can't pronounce his name, but it's Frank Magicard, I think is how they pronounce his name, as the first team manager, and I think he would be great. I mean, not that Van Gaal is doing anything, in my opinion, wrong. I mean, it's not like we're, like, in near the end of the Premier League table in the relegation zone or anything. You know, not like we're that far down. You know, we're, like, sixth and fifth, you know. It's just been, they've had talks, and they've admitted that there were talks in Paris, and, you know, I think we're doing good. I mean, we got... It's exciting. It's a totally different league because there are people that you never would have thought would be up at the top that are up at the top, and there's people you know that like who thought Chelsea would be where they are, and who thought Newcastle United would be where they are, and it's just amazing how this is like the whole Premier League is all jumbled up. I mean, imagine if Alex Ferguson was still manager. Hell, they'd probably be pretty far ahead, but it's just one of those things that I think the way they're structuring the team and the way the players are playing, they're coming together. I mean, I've never been against Van Hall. I mean, if he sinks, he sinks. If he swims, he swims. You know, give him a chance. And if you don't like him, if you don't like what he did at the end of the season, then give someone a chance to come in and prepare in the off season and get the team ready. That way you're not trying to mid-season throw someone new in there. And this is how we've always done stuff. And then, you know, and I got about 6 minutes left in the program, folks. And, you know, I'm just to see Wayne Rooney back in his being like he always was, and just this energetic, you know, like the game with Liverpool, you know, whoever scored, I think was going to win the game. And, you know, it just seemed like they had fire and they were just like, here I am. Here we are. You know, they had life, you know, Rooney just, I mean, after that game, they just had so much life in them, and it was good to see them celebrating. I mean, and I've heard some people say, well, what do you mean? They should have won that game. They should have had, you know, well, it was a make or break for either team. So it was just one of those things that when you look at the team dynamics, you know, I can't wait till we get Luke Shaw back. And of course, you always have Mauro Fellaini. That's just like, how is that guy not getting a red card every game? I mean, with all the fouls he has, I mean, I don't know. I remember I was listening to the Talk Sport match last year, and they're like, they had a counter. Like, there should be another foul. And when I watched the replay of the game, I'm like, how was he not red carded? He had so many fouls. They should have went from the fouls, the five should have went into a yellow, and then he should have had, and he didn't even get a card. I mean, I'm a fan of the team, and I'm just like, how does he get away with this? No one else in the league would. Steven Gerrard wouldn't get away with it. But, you know, it's just one of the things that I have the problem with in football is it's kind of like NASCAR. In NASCAR, they have a thing called the intent. Well, the intent is if we need to get into the oil can inside here, having it loose, it's easier to get into. But then, well, if you have it loose, it gives you more downforce and all this stuff. And, you know, and in football, well, did he intend to have a better play on the ball? I don't think he did. His hands just got in the way. He just tried to jump out of the way, and when he turned to get out of the way, the ball hit his hand, and they call it a handball and all this. And I'm like, I don't think he tried to better the situation using his hand. And it's like, and it's so, I mean, because it's so the handball thing is so judgmental, and was it a handball? Wasn't it a handball? Because sometimes I think it was a handball and they don't call it, and then the next time when it happens, you know, I think because it happened more than once, then they call it, but the second time it looked more like an accident compared to the first time, and you know, and I don't think you're ever going to solve situations like that. I think you're always going to have that situation where, you know, a player like Wayne Rooney or something's going to jump up and he's going to turn his body to try to get away from the ball, and the ball hits his hand, and it's just one of those things. And I got how much time left in the program, folks? I got about 3 minutes and 15 seconds. And I got back from, I saw the gastroenterologist this week. Got up like, I had this like 7:30 appointment. That's always fun because I'm trying to figure out this celiac stuff. And it seemed like I got more questions than answers because it seemed like I'm always told like, okay, if you have this, it can take years to heal. And he's like, oh, in a month or two, you can be perfectly healed. Da da da. You know, and I've always been understanding, okay, if you got celiac disease, you breathe in the wheat, it gets into the body, your body has the reaction, oh, you have to eat it. You know, that breathing in the wheat part, that I don't believe that, I don't buy that. And so it's one of these things where I just try to take all the information I can and make the best of it.
And let God do
it. Yep, yep, God's my doctor. I mean, but seriously, you know, if God wanted us to be repaired, he'd put a hood on us somewhere. That way they just lift up the hood and they can repair you. And then, no, what do they got to do? They got to cut you open. That's why, nope, they should have put a hood on you. But then God's not perfect. I mean, that's what happened. You know, he made woman first and goes, whoa, man, I messed up. And then started over again and God was created. See, they got the Bible backwards on that part. Just saying. Now, folks, that's not doctrinally correct. I just want to, it's just a joke to get people laughing, you know, because I've had people say, well, I'm like a Debbie Downer. I'm like, I'm not a Debbie Downer. This is what I see going on with this country. I got 90 seconds left, and this is what I see going on. I mean, I wish I could blow smoke up the government's butt and praise them for what they're doing, but I don't see that. Me and people like Alex Jones and Glenn Beck and stuff, we're not Debbie Dent. We're just calling what we see. Sorry if I don't see candy canes and roses. Sorry if I realize that, hey, see, like, I can't have wheat, and I'm looking at, I got a big cheese lasagna. I'm looking at possibly seeing if my neighbor can use it. If I give it to her, yeah, it's free for her, but someone had to pay for it. You know, see, my point. Everything, nothing is free in this world. And when are liberals going to realize that? You know, just like those baseball cards back in the 30s and 40s are valuable because there weren't that many made and people tore them up. The ones that are not valuable, the ones that they printed a whole bunch. And what do you think they're doing now? They're printing tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of money and making it devalued. It's all good because everything's going to be free. I'm not a Debbie Downer. I'm just calling it like I see it. And you take and you go with it however you want to. And until next week, God bless you all. Good night. Take care. Goodbye.